This call is being recorded.
Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and we are continuing our season preview series with some of the best minds covering the Grizzlies around Memphis, and we are glad to welcome back from the Daily Memphian, Drew Hill. Drew, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm excellent. I'm a little tired today, I got to be honest, because last night was kind of a late night at the Forum, but it was great to be back. Great to be back in the building. It's kind of crazy for me to think about. I wasn't at that Magic game on the 10th, which March the 10th was the last time the Grizzlies have played in the Forum. I wasn't there because I wasn't the Grizzlies beat writer at the time. I was lucky enough to go to the bubble, so I did watch some live basketball, but I had not been back in FedEx Forum like since the beginning of the year for a Tigers game, I think, was the last time I was in that building. So it was nice to be back. That's sort of over the last 3 years, being a Tigers beat writer and now Grizzlies, like that's been my second home. I actually live one block from the arena too, which is funny. Like I don't even drive to the games. I just walk down the street to the games. It felt like it had been forever. And it felt good being back in the building, but it was a late night. It was a little bit of a late night. Because the media sessions went a little bit long, and I don't know, I guess my brain wasn't functioning at the same speed it usually does, so it took me a little bit longer to update my game story. But hey, it's just great to be back. It's great to be watching real basketball again, and I'm super excited for the regular season to get going.
So, Drew, the last time that you were on the show, you had mentioned that, what stuck out to me, you were really interested in getting – you were ready to get basketball going again. I think you tweeted out yesterday about 7 a.m., here's the FedEx Forum where the Grizzlies will be playing tonight. And I was thinking, man, Drew's there 12 hours early. He was not kidding. He's really ready for basketball to start. But now it makes sense with how close you live in proximity to the Forum. That makes a bit more sense now.
Yeah, I can actually – I can look out of my window right now, my apartment, and I can see FedEx Forum. It's like literally one block away. So, I live basketball pretty much. I'm right here, and this job has sort of become my life the last 3 years. Not the Grizzlies, but the Tigers, and now the Grizzlies. And so, it's kind of nice being this close. It's really easy. Hopefully, if we ever go back to normal life. When they have the media availabilities in the practice gym, I'll just be able to walk a block to those too. It's really nice to be so close. That's for sure.
And it was nice to, get into the gym, obviously, yesterday and watch the Grizzlies, like you had mentioned, just a second ago, it being since March 10th before that, the Grizzlies had played. But, the great thing about covering the Grizzlies now is that if basketball is your life and the Grizzlies are the focus of it, at the very least you have a young up-and-coming team to cover. And at the center of that, of course, is Ja Morant. Drew, you were there last night, Ja and Trey. Even though in terms of the whole scheme of things, you probably have heard about the recent history of the Grizzlies and things such as that. Do you kind of just have to take a step back every now and then and realize the Grizzlies actually have a player in Ja Morant who is a focal point of these matchups, that contain the stars that the NBA wants to build around for a future? And not only is a Grizzly involved in that, but Ja actually is the one who shined more in a lot of these matchups than the other guy that's being mentioned a lot. It's just it's kind of a pinch yourself type feeling, whenever those matchups happen now that a Grizzly is involved. But then just watching him play makes it even more surreal. He's been unbelievable this preseason.
Yeah, he's obviously really, really, really fun to watch. He's a really, really good player. And that's pretty obvious the second you start watching him. And just watching him maneuver with the ball, not even when he's dunking and whatever. I mean, literally just watching him dribble around the defense can be just completely mesmerizing. And it is interesting. Like, I do feel really fortunate that I jump into this job, right? And there is a guy like Ja Morant that you could literally write about every single day. And Grizzlies fans would be perfectly happy with reading about Ja Morant every single day. Like it's honestly a totally beautiful thing. Not everybody is lucky to have that. And in all honesty, or from my perspective, somebody that did not grow up in Memphis and did not grow up a Grizzlies fan, grew up a fan of basketball, watched a lot of the NBA, but didn't really watch the Grizzlies even when they were a good team, and I mean, I guess you would watch them in the playoffs, but during the regular season, like even those grit and grind era teams, while they were exciting for Memphis and very beloved here, like from an outside perspective, they never had the star power that is Ja Morant at this point. So it's amazing how quickly he sort of just shot up. And I think part of it is because he's become such a social media sensation because he does make so many crazy plays. I mean, the guy has like 3 million followers on Instagram, which should tell you something. And so I think he's just so marketable and he's so fun and he says hilarious things all the time. And he's one of the most exciting players to watch in basketball. It's a total blessing to have that and do this job at the same time. So yeah, I feel really lucky to have jumped in when I did. And you're right, he's been playing great basketball in the preseason so far.
Yeah, in the bubble you saw, you know, you kind of – when you watch a Luka or when you watch a LeBron or somebody like that, you just know that not only are they going to continue to make great plays, but they're going to continue to make great plays for others as well. And it just seems like that you're getting that, you know, with Ja. You know, people are starting, you know, we've seen some pretty legitimate minds out there on Twitter, you know, make comments this preseason. They're not – you know, they're not putting out the question that Ja could average 10 assists this year. And you see it. It's just how passionate he is about setting his teammates up. I mean, with Ja getting to that free throw line consistently, even with Justice and Jaren out to start the season, do you get the feeling that the Grizzlies offense could be more consistent even to start the year, which is something they're really going to need to make that playoff push they all want to do?
This is actually a really interesting topic. It's something that this morning I started writing about, and I'm sure I will finish writing about this afternoon after Grizzlies practice wraps up. The offense has been super interesting so far through this early part of the preseason, the first three games of the preseason. One, because Ja Morant has been so awesome, but he is awesome, and we expect him to be awesome. And you're right, he could average more than 10 assists per game. I believe he's averaging somewhere around 18 points, 18.3 points and 10.3 assists through three preseason games. He's only playing 26 minutes. During the regular season last year, he averaged 17 points and 7 assists, and he was playing 31 minutes. Now, I think that there's you sort of do want to take these preseason games with a little bit of caution because they're playing against two pretty atrocious defenses. And I know that sounds like kind of a party pooper type of comment, but they are. You just sort of have to acknowledge that. Minnesota didn't even try on defense in part of those games. And Atlanta's defense is pretty bad too. So is Ja Morant going to be that awesome in every game? No, you can't really expect him to be that awesome in every game. But it's all sort of relative, right? Like, he's going to be awesome because he is awesome, right? That's going to be the truth. But he's not going to be maybe like that every game when he's playing against the teams that play better defense. So to me, that's interesting. Like, how much can you read into that based off of who he's played and what he's done? I think he's going to take a step in year two. But I think that using these preseason games as the gauge may not be the best way to do that. We might need to wait and see once the regular season starts and the defense sort of cranks up and they play against a little bit better teams, what it's going to look like at that point. So that's one. Two is that the Grizzlies are sharing the ball incredibly, incredibly well on offense. They had 29 assists, and they had 30 assists, and they had 33 assists first three games of the season. I believe last year they had somewhere around like 24 games where they had 29 assists, and they had that the first three games of the season so far. So that's great. I think a big credit there, obviously Ja Morant's going to lead the team in assists, but Dylan Brooks has been looking for, and he's been fantastic this preseason. It's time people give him some credit because I know he had a hard time in the bubble. People like to give him a hard time, and he did take some bad shots in the bubble. But so far this preseason, he's done a great job of getting his own shot and looking for his teammates, and that's when Dylan Brooks is going to be at his best. So that's very encouraging. Kyle Anderson has done a great job of distributing the ball, and he's shooting the ball better. So pretty much everything at this point is clicking. Grayson Allen has been off and on. He's been a little bit streaky. He had one game where he made 4 3-pointers, but he's, you know, he hasn't been completely consistent yet. D'Anthony Melton has looked like, you know, what you would expect from him. He mixes it up and does little things. And so right now, the Grizzlies offense looks terrific. I think the question is, okay, is this what the expectation is going to be when the regular season starts and they're playing against teams that don't have a terrible defense? But how close to what we're seeing right now is the real Grizzlies offense? That's what I want to know going into the year. And that's sort of what I've decided to explore a little bit in my story today. And I haven't gotten to all the solutions yet, but it is interesting to look at. And it's got to be exciting if you're a Grizzlies fan to watch them play and watch them share the ball the way that they have through these three preseason games.
Absolutely agree. And that was going to be the thing I'm going to get your opinion on, you know, was how important, you know, the way for Kyle and Dylan to, you know, add, you know, multiple facets in which they can add value. You know what you're going to get with John, you know what you're going to get with Jonas, but, you know, kind of like you hit on with Kyle and Dylan, if they can get comfortable with Kyle, it's his facilitation and defense that you already know is there, but if he can get comfortable with his shot and rebounding, and then with Dylan, it's his shooting, but if he can get comfortable with his playmaking, a really good step for this team is having both of them. If one thing's not working, they've got another element they can feature that can really add value. I think that's going to be a huge development, you know, to start this season to support John Jonas for sure.
You want a bold prediction? I'll give you a bold prediction. I think that the Grizzlies will lead the NBA in assists this season. They were second in assists last year, one season ago. I think they have more of a focus on that coming into this year. I think Dylan Brooks is more attentive to sharing the ball, and they have more guys who can make shots. I think that the Grizzlies are going to lead the NBA in assists. That's my bold prediction before the season starts.
And I'll go along with that. I would love that to be the case. I that has been my biggest, you know, love of Taylor Jenkins' system so far, and it comes off what Mike Budenholzer puts an emphasis on. But if they could lead the league in assists, Drew, and especially a big part of that being playing off their strength of getting into the lane and then passing out to an open shooter on the three and getting more consistent with three, I think that's a needed step with Justice and Jaren being out to start the season for them really to emerge as the playoff contender they want to be. I think that's essential.
Yeah, and again, expect that, right? Especially since Ja Morant is a part of your team. And if he does take a step forward like you would expect, then he's going to have better assist numbers than he had last year. And you have guys now who are going to play more. Like your Grayson Allen was missing time last year. If he's back, you expect him to make shots. You add a guy like Desmond Bane, who I'm sure we'll get into in a little bit. He can make shots. And if Kyle Anderson shoots the ball better, then you're talking about all those passes where Ja Morant threw the ball to a wide open guy and they missed. If they make him at a higher clip this year, his assist numbers are just going to go up. So, I like that prediction. They were, like I said, second only behind the Suns last year. The Suns have had some changes. So I like the Grizzlies' chances to lead the NBA in assists.
I agree with you completely, and I think that's obviously that's what gives me so much encouragement, and I think it gives Taylor Jenkins so much promise. That was a big emphasis that he placed on this team, drafting Ja, getting Tyus, and really putting that in over this year with a couple of training camps before the bubble and now, and it's worked out magically. And it's been essential, you know, to this team really exceeding expectations. But we exceeded expectations last year, struggled a bit in the bubble, but what about this year? Going to get into some thoughts with Drew about his outlook for the season and what's really going to stand out to him for the Grizzlies.
For much of this year, you've heard me talk about the great product that is Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, the versatile addition to your day that adds a bit of a health kick that we all need, have it in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon for a snack, before or after workout, whenever you choose to have it, and it tastes like a candy bar because of the 12 delicious flavors that have always been there for you to choose from the beginning. Well, now, Built Bar is enhancing the product. Yes, that's right. You actually are able to choose now from 18 different flavors, including 6 new ones to go with the 12 ones that already were there. Plus, if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and put in the promo code Locked On, that's the promo code Locked On, you get 20% off your next order of Built Bar. Plus, you're also going to get a free cooler while supplies last. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, and get 20% off your next order of Built Bar, plus a free cooler while supplies last.
So, Drew, I'll just stay general and come right out and ask you, when it comes to this Grizzlies team this season, what is the biggest storyline that you are going to be watching, you know, more closely than others? Is it a player? Is it a concept? Is it Coach Jenkins? What's the biggest storyline for you with this Grizzlies team this season?
Oh, it's Jonathan. That's the obvious answer. I honestly don't even want to say that, Sean, to be honest with you, just because he's such a star. And if he takes another step, he was on the verge of being an all-star last year, right? He was almost an all-star substitute last year. He could be an all-star this year. There's no all-star game, which kind of stinks, but he could be an all-star this year if he takes a big enough step forward. And his goal, once again, is to, quote, prove everybody wrong. Now, individually, outside of not criticism, but doubts about his jump shot, I really don't think there's a lot of people that for Ja Morant to prove wrong anymore, simply because everybody thinks Ja Morant is really good at basketball now. So I don't know exactly where he's coming from there, unless he's talking about the team, of course, which has been picked towards the bottom of the West. And again, this could be a year for the Grizzlies where they either stay about the same as where they were, or maybe they even take a step back, given that they have injuries at the beginning of the season. And that's perfectly fine, because if you're the Grizzlies and you're the Grizzlies front office, you're still looking towards the future here. And this year, in big picture, doesn't really make a huge difference, especially, again, with the injuries at the beginning of the year that you have. So for me, it's Ja Morant. I mean, what sort of step is he going to take? And by proving everybody wrong, does that mean he's going to pull the Grizzlies into the playoffs? It'd be nice to get some playoff games this year and get some experience if you're Memphis. But I don't think that even that is critical. What's more important is that individually you see the guys that you view as the future of your franchise making progress. That's Jaren Jackson and that's Ja Morant. And usually those two things coincide, right? If they make big steps, the Grizzlies will be better and the Grizzlies will have better playoff chances. But injuries can change that. So we'll just see how the season goes. But yeah, to me, biggest storyline, progress of Ja Morant, progress of Jaren Jackson Jr. And then you can worry about the playoffs and everything else later, because you have a feeling that if those guys continue to get better, you're going to have plenty of playoff years down the line in the future.
So we talk about John, we talk about Jaren, and I completely agree. My biggest storyline for the season for an individual player was Jaren Jackson Jr., because, you know, I would love for him to consistently be what he was those three games in the bubble. But, you know, Drew, looking at Ja, looking at Jaren, and Brandon Clark obviously is the trio that's the core of this team. You see the Grizzlies, the move that they made at the trade deadline to get Justice Winslow. There was a lot of emphasis on bringing him in, hopefully seeing that he could be a future part of this team. But my question is this, coming off his injury, do you feel that there's a better chance with his team option looming after this season? Do you feel there's a better chance he solidifies himself as kind of that fourth true, you know, part of this future core? Or do you think it's somebody else that steps up and that kind of makes Justice, you know, more, it brings into question that, you know, team option decision, where it could be more likely the Grizzlies may not pick it up? Do you think he meets the promise that the Grizzlies hope he can, or someone steps up to kind of make an easy decision to let him go after this year?
That's a tough prediction to make, especially with him not playing yet and not being able to see him on the floor. I think so, because I think that he becomes that other option simply because the Grizzlies made the move to go out and get him. So they must, at least to some degree, believe that he could be that player. and they're going to hope that he is that player. So I think he's got the upper hand there in terms of he definitely has the belief of the front office. It seems like, boy, he's got to get on the floor. He's got to get healthy and get on the floor. And I know Grizzlies fans are probably, I mean, they already are frustrated with the fact that he hasn't, Justice Winslow hasn't played a game yet. But he does. They're not going to go make a move like that if they don't view him as a potential option to be in that role. And so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt here. And I'll say because the front office, who has been done a really good job, by the way, so far, because the front office believes in him, I think that there's reason to believe that he could be one of those pieces, maybe not the third big piece, but like you said, maybe a fourth person on the team who could play a big role in getting a team that can make a deep playoff run.
And speaking of believing, you know, in the moves that they make and believing in their system, obviously this team believed in first round pick Desmond Bane, who, you know, we saw, you know, I asked Coach Jenkins about it last night in a 2-minute stretch. You saw what Bane could offer, his 3-point shooting, his playmaking, his awareness when it comes to rebounding. You know, when you look at that 2-guard position, you know, until Justice and Jaren comes back, you know, kind of the way that we're looking at it is Dylan at the 3. It seems like Melton's probably going to be at the 2. Grayson being a clear part of that bench unit. But, Drew, do you think that you know, in terms of, like, if you're looking at a Grayson and a, you know, Conchar and a Bane, do you feel that Bane is that backcourt talent that really has the best chance to significantly see his role grow in this system? He seems like such a good fit as a shooter, but also as someone who you could really see under Jenkins add value in other ways, you know, in his, you know, through his playmaking, decision-making, rebounding. He really seems like he could be an all-around good value for this Grizzlies team and see his role increase as the season goes along.
I do think so, but I think that you said it right there at the very end, as the season goes along. And I just caution here because I already see it online. Like, I see it on Twitter. I see it on Facebook. People that think Bane should start. And he's looked good in the minutes that he's played. I don't want to take anything away from Desmond Bane because he has. But I think that Taylor Jenkins, to a degree, I mean, unless – and I also want to hedge this, what I'm about to say, because we don't know what the final preseason game is going to look like. I asked him about Ja Morant's minutes, and he said – his minutes will increase in the 3 preseason games, and then the 4th one will figure it out. So I think there's a chance that the Grizzlies just shut down a lot of their big-time players in the final preseason game and give them some rest going into the first game of the season. So that might affect the starting lineup. But I think so far, Taylor Jenkins has pretty much tipped his hand. Like, he's deciding between Grayson Allen and D'Anthony Melton on who's going to be the starters here before the season starts. And I just see people comment Desmond Bane should be starting already. I don't know about that. I don't know if he's quite ready for that yet, if Taylor Jenkins believes he's ready for that yet. But I do think that he's a really good player who's going to end up being of tremendous value for the Grizzlies this year. You've already seen his shot. He's shooting 45% on his 3-pointers so far. So that's a good start for him. And the shot just looks good. It just looks pretty pure when it comes off of his hand. It looks a lot better than Kyle Anderson, although Kyle Anderson's making a higher percentage of 3-point shots in the preseason than Desmond Bane. Raise your hand if you would have predicted that. No, everybody can keep their hands down. But yeah, I of course I think that Desmond Bane is going to turn into a productive player from what I've seen so far. He's really tough on the defensive end. He's got in there and fought for rebounds. He had a stretch in the last game where against Atlanta last night where I think he made 2 3-pointers and then grabbed an offensive rebound over a big, like flew in, grabbed an offensive rebound over a big and kicked it out to D'Anthony Melton, who was wide open for a 3, and he ended up making that. So he's not afraid to do it all, and I think he already knows his role, that he can be a good role player on this team, and he's not going to try and do too much. And so, yes, I think his role can increase as the season goes along. He's already got an NBA body. He's very built. So I think it's for him, it's just a matter of feeling comfortable and knowing where to be and what to do in certain situations, because it is a much different system than it was for him at TCU. But once that happens, yeah, I think his role is going to increase this season.
And I agree completely as well. And you know, all these things are certainly important for Memphis. But when it comes to the Grizzlies this season, what really needs to occur for them to make the playoffs? Coming up, I'm going to talk with Drew about a couple of things that really need to happen for the Grizzlies to really get their playoff push going early in the season without Justice and Jaren. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So, Drew, you had talked about your bold prediction. You had talked about that you felt that the Grizzlies passing was going to lead the league in assists this year, and that's going to be a big development for them. I think that their bench being the best unit in the league undeniably is my bold prediction, and I think that that has to do a lot with the depth that's there. Tyus, Brandon Clark, eventually Kyle Anderson and De'Anthony Melton with Justice and Jaren come back, and you throw in Bain. How important do you think this depth is going to be to really help the Grizzlies not only get through this season with COVID being involved, but really give them advantage against really anybody in the league? I think that's their one true advantage that can make them a true playoff contender if this depth continues to develop and gives immediate results.
Oh, I think it's going to be critical. Fans would be upset with you when they throw off that list. I mean, John Contar, he's got a big fan base here. No, I'm kidding. But of course, yeah, the bench is going to be super important for them, and it's going to be one of their biggest weapons. And I like the fact that it seems like for now, Taylor Jenkins is going to continue to allow Brandon Clark to come off the bench instead of using him as a starter. He didn't start last night, even though he was healthy and played in the game and played pretty well. So I like that idea, and you're right. I think that their bench is going to be one of their best weapons this year. The key is, can they get those guys to make shots? And if they can, you've got plenty of options. At the moment, you can go game by game. And so that's of tremendous value in terms of, all right, Grayson Allen's not making shots tonight. It's time to go with De'Anthony Melton or go with Bane or go with somebody else. They're going to be able to go on a game-by-game basis once they get healthy and really just pick whichever guys are playing well on a particular night and plug them in. And so I think that that's going to be of tremendous value to them, and I would agree. I think that their bench is one of the best in the NBA.
And so, Drew, I'll go a step further with that. You know, obviously if the depth is there and it's really making this team a playoff team, you know, you could, you know, obviously I think they're not going to change what's certainly working. But, you know, say – the bench, the young guys are producing, but the Grizzlies, you know, they're kind of on that fringe playoff. You know, just a playoff move. You know, you get 3 months down the line, you're looking at the trade deadline, and the Grizzlies have been active through trades. That's what's been a big reason why they've built this roster. Do you see a significant move being made in this season? I don't necessarily think it would be to add a piece for a true playoff run, but do you think that you could see, if the young depth is really producing, you know, a piece traded away, you know, maybe a Grayson, maybe a Tyus, maybe a Jonas. You could see where those, I think some are less likely than others, but do you feel that there's a significant move that could be made as far as a trade goes? And what is something that you think needs to happen for that to occur? And the answer may be there may not be a trade.
Yeah. Honestly, of all those people that you named, I don't want to rule that out because their sights are set on the future. They're not set on right now. Honestly, if they feel once again that the free agent market isn't going to go their way and they don't want to free up a bunch of cap space, I could see Gorgui Dieng getting traded in during the season and be on his way out to a team that wants a big expiring contract like that. And in that case, you could bring back players or anything else. I think that maybe that trade to me is more interesting because it gives you There's several different options. Like you could take back draft picks or you could take back another player. But in terms of making a trade this year for a playoff push, I just don't know if that's going to happen. Like I just don't think that the front office and that the Grizzlies are willing to sell even a little bit just to sneak into the playoffs and probably end up losing in the first or second round to a team that's more experienced and just has more star power than they do. So I would not sell off at all for any sort of playoff run. If I were in their position, I would stay the course and focus on the future. And maybe you make a trade that pushes you backwards for a year, but in the long term works out better for you. I think that that's maybe more likely than making a trade for like, okay, let's make a trade and push ourselves into the back end of the playoffs. I don't think they're thinking back end of the playoffs. I think they're thinking, let's get to the Western Conference Finals in a couple years when John Morant's a true superstar and we can add more talent to the team. That's where I think that their head is. So if I'm in their position, I'm not selling anything for a back end playoff push this year. I'm holding on to everything I got.
And Drew, before we get to a real quick rapid fire with your season prediction, just want to get your quick thought. Is there an end of the bench guy, maybe one of the guys that the Grizzlies re-upped and maybe another draft pick besides Bane, that really stands out to you as you really want to see what he does this year in Taylor Jenkins' system? For me, it's Killian Tilly, you know, because I think he's such a good fit for Taylor Jenkins' system. But is there a guy who's kind of low on the depth chart and the bench, maybe a guy who's going to spend time in South Haven and here? Is there any one of those guys that really stands out to you that you really, you know, could see blossom or develop quicker than expected in Taylor Jenkins' system?
Yeah, I think it's Tilly as well because he can shoot the ball so well. And I was not surprised, but I just thought that going into these two-way contracts that the Grizzlies would probably take a point guard on a two-way so that they would have some sort of point guard depth behind Tyus and Ja, because we kind of saw how they got exposed in the bubble when they didn't have Tyus and they didn't have another true point guard. So I was a little bit surprised that they ended up taking two forwards, but it makes a lot of sense that they took shooting the way that they did, knowing that Jaren Jackson was going to miss the beginning of the season. And now, from talking to some people around the league, and I actually wrote this when they first put out their injury report, Killian Tilly does not have a serious injury, but he has a serious enough hamstring strain that he is probably not going to be ready to play, even if they wanted to use him early in the season. So for me, he's interesting because he's such a mystery. Like, what do they think of him? How do they even get him in the mix when he is healthy? You know, because it's not like they're putting him in a preseason game anymore. They're putting him in games that count. And we don't know what's going to happen with the G League right now. So how do they get him minutes? How do they even see what he looks like outside of practice? So that, to me, is going to be interesting, and especially with him now having to recover from this hamstring strain. So for me, he's just got the most question marks around him, and we know he can shoot the ball really well, and we know how valuable that is, especially with the Grizzlies and floor spacing and pulling those big men out of the paint for Ja Morant. So I think he is a guy that could have value for the Grizzlies right away. But we have no idea what he looks like, and he's hurt. So to me, I think he's definitely the most interesting guy, or the guy I'm most interested in for sure.
I agree with you completely. So, Drew, a little bit of rapid fire, and the point is to just, you know, right off your gut, you know, what you think may be the best answer here. So within three wins, I'll give you a three-win range. How many wins do you think the Grizzlies get this year?
31.
I'm with you there. When it comes to their placement, go ahead.
The total, the Vegas win total for the Grizzlies is 30. And I think that if they're right below 500 again, which I would say that, I mean, most people probably think that they will be in a 72-game season, 31 would put me what? If they're one game under 500 or if they're a handful of games under 500, I'm still good. So I like 31 or 32. I like 31 now.
I was in that 33 to 35 range myself, so we're right on track there. Do they get into a play-in spot in the West?
I do. I think it's the 9 or the 10, though.
What is more likely to happen for Ja Morant, averaging 9 assists a game or making 100 threes this year?
Oh, man. 9 assists a game. I think with better shooters around him this year, I think 9 assists a game is more likely, because if he's passing to Desmond Bane, who's knocking down threes, and he's passing more to Grayson Allen, if he can make threes at a better clip, and Kyle Anderson shoots the ball better, I like the assist. I'll take this.
What's more likely to happen, Ja Morant as an all-star or Brandon Clark as a sixth man of the year finalist?
Ooh. Brandon Clark as a sixth man of the year finalist, because you got to think about in the all-star scenario, you've got guys that are coming back this year that weren't all-stars last year because, like, I'm thinking specifically Steph Curry right now. And so I'll take Brandon Clark as sixth man of the year finalist.
And then my final question is, and you can include Ja in this just because I know that storylines will focus on him for good reason. But if you're looking 7 months from now into the future, and not talking about the draft or anything like that, but when we're 7 months into the future and we're looking back on this season, other than Ja, what do you think the biggest storyline will be? What will Grizzlies fans be talking about the most from this season that doesn't involve Ja 7 months from now?
They will be talking about this is kind of cheating. They'll be talking about how they're going to use their draft picks or what the next big move is for this team, because
there you go.
I think that they're going to be on, I think they're on the cusp of the playoffs once again, and they're going to show a lot of promise. And I don't think they're – I'm not going to, you know, say they're going to be talking about their playoff run. No, because, again, I'm looking into the future, especially if I'm the Grizzlies front office. And if I'm a Grizzlies fan, I'm still looking into the future. I know it's kind of – hard to be patient, but I'm looking at what's the move that they're going to make for the third star that this team, that they can add to this team. Do I know if it's been this off season? It might not. It might be another off season after that. But I think it's certainly a possibility that they could make a big move, and they have extra picks. So, yeah, that's what I think that they're going to be talking about, is that draft or what they're going to do trade wise. To make a move and add another player around that draft.
It's going to be an exciting time. And Drew, you know, again, as you mentioned all offseason, the time is finally here. You know, us and everybody else, we've got our wish. We've got Grizzlies basketball now that we have to look forward to for 6 months into the future. So just in terms of the near future, and happy holidays to you and your family, by the way, what do you have coming up towards the end of the year, and any big projects to start the year coming up on your end?
On my end, well, actually, Memphis say that we have now. I still have that Grizzlies newsletter going on where I write about goofy stuff. I'm writing every single day now, so if you want to read about the Grizzlies, you can go read my stuff at the Daily Memphian. I will have stuff up all the time. I'm working on a couple feature stories. I don't know if I want to give them away, but I have a good idea for opening night. Hoping it'll work out. There's some hiccups, but I'm hoping it'll work out. And then in addition, Chris Harrington, who is my colleague, is working on something, a special project. Again, I'm not going to give anything away, but I'm really excited to read it. And he does a good job of covering the team too. So I would just keep my eye out for that as well, if I'm a business fan.
And, Drew, I know that your work extends beyond the Grizzlies, but I just want to say thank you because your work is top-notch. It's as quality as it gets. But just the effort that you and the guys, Chris Harrington and others, put in at the Daily Memphian, thank you for the quality work and just the effort as well. I know it can be tiring at times, but I know it's very appreciated. So thank you for all your great work this year. I really look forward to all of it continuing on and looking forward to having you, you know, certainly many more times in the future on here. It's truly appreciated for many of our listeners as well as many around Memphis.
Sean, the same goes for you.
Well, that
class of talkers of basketball.
It is a pleasure. It's all on my end. His name is Drew Hill. You can follow him and his work at the Daily Memphian Twitter. Subscribe to the Daily Memphian, obviously. Obviously, he's going to have great stories, great insight as well. But for Drew Hill, you can follow the show at Locked on Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. Follow the podcast anywhere it's available. We will have Drew on, I'm sure, at some point towards the first of the year. But until then, happy holidays to him. And again, can't thank him enough for being on here with us for this season preview. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked on Grizzlies podcast.